May there come one searing word, enough to bear you to the bone, enough to set your heart ablaze, enough to make you whole. In the name of the Holy Trinity, amen. We have everything we need. Did you know that? Do those words make sense? We have everything that we need to live faithfully. We have everything we need to love God, to love ourselves, and to love all neighbors and enemies. We have been given everything we need to obtain the promise by loving what God commands. We have been given everything we need to increase in the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. We have extraordinary resources. Perspective about this matters. So realize that in comparison with nearly every human being who has ever lived, and in comparison with nearly every Christian who ever has been baptized, that we live in a period, in a time of stability, peace, order, and eye-popping wealth, despite what the cable news and the media trolls say. And yet, do you feel like we have everything we need to live into our baptismal vows? Do you feel like we actually do have everything we need to strive for justice, and to seek Christ, and to serve Christ in all persons? How did this happen? That we seem to think that we do not have enough, that our church or our culture, or that humanity doesn't have enough heart anymore to exercise faith, hope, and charity. Our gospel passage from Luke points a finger at the problem. Did you notice it? It's sin. And I'm not talking about the rogues or the thieves or the adulterers. It's the most subtle and deadly of the sins. Most theologians will tell you that there really are only a few sins once you learn how to see them clearly. And this is the one that we need to see clearly. It is idolatry. Idolatry happens when we place something in the center of life where only God is supposed to be. Idolatry shows up first in our behavior and then in our words. More often than not, do you know what we put in the place of God? Ourselves. Me. It often looks like what we call self-interest or selfishness. I want to do something or not do something that runs contrary to my understanding of God. And by one turn or another, I distance myself from God and do the thing that I want to do. And then I justify myself. Surely I deserve this. Surely it won't matter this time. Surely it's mine. I mean, I earned it. I made it. Or surely this time, or this time, or this time, it's okay if I lie a little or cheat a little. or steal a little. Whatever the case may be, we justify it. And given enough time, we become like the Pharisee in the story today, who has become blind and deaf to his sin. And his sin is this: he made himself God. He actually reminds God in his prayer of how pious he is and how awful those people are, as if God didn't know. He makes himself the judge. I think that's what Jesus meant when he talked about exalting oneself. He seems to think that he doesn't have everything he needs to be faithful. He has forgotten who he is, and he has forgotten who God is, which means that he is a sinner, just like everybody else, who tries to follow and who fails. Now, of course, remember that the parable that Jesus tells, it's just that. It's a parable. It's made up. What is real is that it is good news. It is the heart of the good news of the gospel, because it's God's rescue mission for all people, people just like me and people just like you. Jesus tells this story. He tells this parable in order to help someone who is blind and who is deaf to their idolatry. Quote, he tells the story to help some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He tells the story because Christ is merciful as God is merciful. And he is trying to help these idolatrous persons to see their folly for themselves and to make them love what God commands, yet without forcing them to do it or forcing us to change anything. There's only one way that I have seen that changes people. It happens when I see and understand something that I was blind to. And this is the moment of change. I have to make a decision. I have to choose to change. No one else will change me. No one else will change my mind or my behavior. Only you can change yourself. Only I can change myself. So this is why I love this story. It's Jesus looking at the sinner and telling a story so that that person, so that I, have the opportunity to see through my blindness and to hear again and to see my sin for what it is. And if there's one thing that we have in this beautiful faith, it's a way to deal with sin. You have to acknowledge it. You have to confess it. And you ask God for forgiveness. So do you see? Do you understand that this is why we do, in fact, have everything we need to walk in this faith, to fail, and to be made whole again so that we can live together? And to live in this faith means paying attention to how we're living. The Episcopal Church is progressive, but it has never been the church of anything goes. We need to love one another with enough trust and with enough truth to be honest. We need each other because this is a hard, hard world to live in without the gift of faith, without the gift of friends, and without you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I've been standing in this pulpit for 4.5 years, nearly. So you probably already know that every sermon I preach is a stewardship message. We have everything we need in Christ. After that, the question becomes, what will we share and what will we give? If you haven't yet been to a stewardship meeting, then you might think that I'm talking about money or only about money. Money is indeed one of the resources that we have, and we are taught to generously share it. But there are other resources. The fellowship that we share is a resource. The truth that we tell is a resource. This stunning complex of buildings is a resource. The leadership that so many of you exercise in ministry at this church, that's a resource. And if you saw the message on Wednesday from your vestry that things are happening, that we're about to start listening and wondering about our vision for the future, then you know that this church is on the cusp of something. Maybe. I think so. I believe so. But the choice is before us. The choice before us is how to place and how to keep God in the center of our life. It's that choice that only you can make for yourself. I quote now from the Reverend Mark Oakley, who is an acquaintance and a poet and an honest human. He wrote these words after nearly dying of a heart attack quite recently. The experience forced him to see something that he had missed for a long time. He saw some sins, and then he repented of them. And he wrote this about it. It took a hospital bed to get me to see the things that matter most in this world. Love, relationship, connection, trust, wisdom. These are things that increase as they are shared. These are things that increase as they are shared. The more you give of these, the more you have. They are completely unlike wealth and power. The more you share and give of these things, the more you have to give and share. So I conclude with this prayer. Lord Christ, make us to love what you love and to follow you to the end of life, sharing our resources, sharing our faith, growing in hope, and rejoicing in the charity that you share with us toward all people. Teach us humility, that we may see our sin and return and be made whole again. Amen.